The Holy Gospel for this All Saints Sunday is from the Gospel according to St. Luke, the 6th chapter. This is Luke's version of what we call the Beatitudes found in Matthew's Gospel. Then Jesus looked up at his disciples and said, "Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who are hungry now, for you will be filled. Blessed are you who weep now, for you will laugh. Blessed are you when people hate you and when they exclude you, revile you, and defame you on account of the Son of Man. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy, for surely your reward is great in heaven. For that is what their ancestors did to the prophets. But woe to you who are rich, for you have received your consolation. Woe to you who are full now, for you will be hungry. Woe to you who are laughing now, for you will mourn and weep. Woe to you when all speak well of you, for that is what their ancestors did to the false prophets. But I say to you that listen, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who abuse you. If anyone strikes you on the cheek, offer the other also. And from anyone who takes away your coat, do not withhold even your shirt. Give to everyone who begs from you, and if anyone takes away your goods, do not ask for them again. Do to others as you would have them do to you." This is the gospel of our Lord. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. Sisters and brothers in Christ, saints of God, grace and peace to you today from God our Creator and from Jesus our Lord and Savior. Just two more days. Can I get an hallelujah?
Hallelujah.
Yeah, that's the loudest hallelujah I've heard. We could just sing the chorus to "For All the Saints" again. Just two more days. Every election cycle, it seems that the most recent is the longest ever. And just because Ms. Clinton and Mr. Trump began campaigning when I was in high school, it may be true this time, I'm not sure. Perhaps it's because the lack of civility, or perhaps it's because we as a nation seem more polarized than ever before. Although there have been plenty of elections in the past that have not been civil, and there's been lots of polarization in this country in our history. But it does seem worse this time. There's certainly a lot of fear and a lot of anxiety in the air that if he wins, or if she wins, or if this issue passes, or if that issue doesn't pass, it will be a disaster. It will be a crisis. It will be the end of democracy as we know it. I think I've heard all those things said. May have said them myself at some time to time. Well, it's a great privilege to vote, and many people have died for that privilege, and that alone, I think, should get us to the polls. We live out our Christian vocation to love our neighbor as we exercise this privilege by becoming informed and about candidates and issues and then voting for a just society, however we discern that to be true. Politics do matter, so get out and vote on Tuesday if you haven't done so already. But at the same time, and you had to know there was going to be a yet, at the same time, we Jesus followers trust that our hope doesn't depend on what happens on Tuesday. Our future does not ultimately depend on what happens at the ballot box. St. Paul reminds us today in his letter to the Ephesians, I'm going to focus on these three verses this morning. "I pray that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation as you come to know him, so that with the eyes of your heart enlightened, you may know what is the hope to which he has called you, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance among the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of his power for us who believe according to the working of his great power." We are people called to hope. And not just someday, not when it's all over, but now. We are called to hope because we are heirs. We have been given a glorious inheritance, the riches of God's glorious inheritance with all the saints. We are mindful on this All Saints Sunday of the saints who from their labors rest, and we've invited you to bring some things today to remind us of the saints in your lives. And behind every item that's been brought up here, there is a story, and it would be great to hear the stories of these saints. And thank you for those of you who brought them up. If you didn't get a chance to bring them up and want to do that during the hymn following the sermon, please do so. I also want to call your attention to a post-it note that's in your bulletin in the order. And we put that there so that if you'd like to later in the service, write the name of a saint who from his or her labor now rests, and you can place that up on this table with these things. During communion, you can do it when you come up, or if you want to do it afterwards, it'll be a little bit, there'll be a little bit of a traffic problem, but that's okay. We would love to have names of those saints in your lives. So today on this All Saints Sunday, it's appropriate, it's important to remember the saints who have died before us. Leif Larson Andrews writes in the latest Living Lutheran that saints are a chorus of voices and faces who have shaped our faith and now rest in mercy. Saints give us the long view of history. History marked by God's intervention in Christ. They give us the long view of our source of hope. And saint is the missionary Paul's noun, the word that he uses for the people of God, for all who follow Jesus. You don't find Christian much in the Bible, but you find saint. Paul uses it with some regularity. And Paul deliberately chooses a word that identifies us by what God does for us and not by what we do for God. He names us as saints not because we are so wonderful or because we are so faithful, because of our worship attendance, not because of the company we keep, but because of the one who keeps company with us. That's how Paul can name us saints. In our tradition, we believe that we are baptized into sainthood. And so today, later in the service, we are going to welcome soon-to-become Saint Jeremiah into God's church. Not because Jeremiah has much of a resume of good works so far in his young life, but because of God's grace, and because God makes him in baptism joint heirs of the riches of God's glorious inheritance. So you are saints. And I want you to turn to someone, maybe it's someone you know, maybe it'd be better if you turn to someone you don't know, and tell them this morning, you are a saint. Right now. You are a saint. So how did that feel? A lot of you were laughing pretty hard when you said that to whoever you're sitting next to this morning. We don't usually hear that about ourselves, nor do we tell someone else that they are saints, partly because maybe we know our story and their stories all too well. The automatic response is, no, you know, not really, you know. Or if you knew me better, you would know for sure that's not true. Don't call me that. But St. Paul, speaking the word of the Lord, insists, I am giving you a new name for yourself. I'm giving you a new identity. I'm giving you a word that gets beneath appearances and gets behind failures and successes. A word that defines your true identity, your deepest identity. You are saints. Eugene Peterson writes that the most important thing about us is not what we do for God, and sometimes the church gives you that impression. The most important thing about who you are is what God does for us. It's because we know what God does in and for us that we are no longer lost in the cosmos, and we no longer need to be confused about who we truly are. We are saints of God, made so by God in Christ. And so here is our hope, that God is at work in imperfect people and in an imperfect church, in the communion of saints to accomplish God's will. And it happens as we live out our vocation as saints, one we're all called to. And we live out that vocation in our families, in our work, in our politics, in our households, in our church, but it's not finally up to us to make or break the coming of the kingdom of God. That is God's work working through us. And our hope is in the grace of the glorious inheritance that comes from God and the immeasurable greatness of his power, as it says in Ephesians, for us who believe according to the working of that great power. And God exercises that power, especially in Easter, at Easter, in the raising of the dead. This week, while I was perusing the obituary in the section in the Star Tribune, I came across this little verse in the In Memoriam section. It was put there to remember a young man who had died 15 years ago at age 23. And the verse put there by his mom and dad, and I assume probably a brother and a sister, said, "The pain of losing you doesn't get any easier. Cancer took you, but it can't keep you. We know we will see you again, and we miss you." Death may be the greatest thief of all, the thing that steals our hope more than anything else. Catherine and I were coming back from seeing Ben and Kristen in Gayville last Monday, and as we were coming home, we lamented in the car how often death has been elbowing its way into the lives of people we know. Death has come barging into the lives of several of our partners. Just a few weeks ago, we lost Dennis Ellingson to illness. Bruce Williams was a member here and a pastor to some of you in years past. And this week, Marilyn Gannon's mom died and Virgil Eckhoff's brother died. And as I was just going through this sermon this morning, Tom Arnoldy called to ask if we would keep Peggy in our prayers because her mom died last night. A couple of weeks ago, I learned of the death of my mom's last surviving sister, Dorothy. And there was a news story one week ago about the tragic shooting of a police officer in western Wisconsin near where we used to live. Officer Dan Glaze was shot and killed while investigating a suspicious vehicle in Russ County. Dan was one of the middle school boys that I coached when we lived in Birchwood. He was a great kid, and from what I understand, a fine police officer. This past Friday, Catherine and I attended the funeral for a 57-year-old friend from Kadoka who finally lost a near decade-long battle with something called Lewy body dementia. You know, there are periods of times when we can go about our daily lives and death seems to be a ways off. We hear about it in the news. But there are other times in our lives when death repeatedly shows its ugly face, or makes an overwhelming assault, an all-consuming assault on someone we love or us. The artist Jan Richardson wrote in a blog post about her struggle to live hopefully after the death of her husband. "Hope is a hard word for me these days," she wrote. "Last Friday marked a year since the surgery that would begin to bear my husband away from us. I think of those who waited with me with such hope through that first surgery, and then through the two emergency surgeries that would follow, and throughout all the days that we kept vigil with Gary until it became clear that our vigil was at an end. What is the use of hoping when hope comes to such a pass?" Well-meaning people, she continues, try to stir hope by talking about God's ineffable ways and how everything is part of the larger plan. They say it's a mystery we will understand someday. It's just that someday is not enough to get me through this day, to move from one moment to the next without my beloved. And yet this saint of God writes, "Yet in the midst of my grief, what I know is that hope inexplicably has not left me. Hope is stubborn. It lives in me like a muscle that keeps reaching and stretching." Paul talks in his letter to the Ephesians about a hoping that is tied to Easter. to God's power exercised like a muscle in the raising of Christ from the dead. God put the immeasurable greatness of his power to work in Christ when God raised him at Easter. And Paul makes clear that Christ, in turn, is putting that power to work in you and me, not just for someday, but for now. Hope, Richardson writes, asks us to open ourselves to what we do not know, but can only trust, and sometimes barely, to pray that the eyes of our hearts will be enlightened, to imagine what is really beyond our imagining. And then we will join other saints in declaring, cancer took you, but it can't keep you. Depression and despair took you, but it can't keep you. An act of violence took you, but it can't keep you. A rare illness, a genetic defect, a tragic accident, the accumulation of years took you, but none of those things can keep you. We live with the saints who have died before us as people of hope, and we pray on this All Saints Sunday for enlightened hearts to see the glorious inheritance that is ours and the greatness of God's power working out life in the midst of both life and death. So politics matter. And what happens on Tuesday matters. Outcomes will impact the lives, our lives, and the lives of our neighbors. But our hope doesn't depend on what happens Tuesday or any other election day. We live hopefully as saints of God. In every ending and in every beginning, we belong to Christ. Thanks be to God. Amen.